And so we still are in the festive seasons, enjoying the Christmas holidays. Well, the New Year is just a couple of days away. But while all of this is happening, you know, and I know that election campaigns, politicians, political parties are still very much strategizing. Tenures are coming to an end. New ones would eventually start next year. How well have these various leaders done in the course of their 4 years or 8 years tenure? Statements were made by a very popular clergyman, Bishop Coker, and that raised a lot of comments in public space, in members of even the major opposition political party, the PDP, and the ruling party, the APC, took different positions over some of the comments made by the Bishop of the Sokoto Catholic Diocese with regards to the promises made by the President Muhammadu Buhari in 2015 before he assumed office, when, according to Bishop Coker, he failed to fulfill those promises. That wasn't all. There were also areas where he said, well, you can give kudos to the president. And one of such areas he pointed out was for infrastructure. I mean, he commended the president's efforts in that sector. He acknowledged the fact that there's been measurable improvement in the landscape, especially in the area of roads. But aside that, well, not much, he says, has been done. He also says everybody will thank God that the president is looking healthier than he was before he got into office, which should be another plus. Well, not many people took these comments lightly, and that's the reason why this morning we're having a conversation. I remember the president also had said when he retires, he wants to be far away from the FCT, from Abuja. And that was his comment. He didn't want to involve himself with any of those issues anymore. Well, today we get to look at those comments made by the bishop. And we get to also ask you and find out from you what you whether you agree or disagree. Bishop Coker says President Buhari failed to fulfill his 2015 promises. Do you agree? Let's know. My guest this morning is also a clergyman, Reverend Dr. Minabai Dagogo Jack, State Chairman, PFN in Rivers State. He is also the International Director, Laundrers Soap Evangelical Ministries. So you're welcome. Compliments of the season to you.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a long time trying to get you to the studio. You've been very busy. Eventually, yeah. Today it happened.
Yes. In fact, yeah, I just arrived from Edo State yesterday.
Wow.
And I thought I could rest, but FEMI didn't allow me to rest.
All right. When we wrap things up here, you definitely get that rest.
Okay.
But let's start quickly with the position of the Bishop of Sokoto Diocese and what he has said about the current administration and the promises that were made. And for him, those promises have not been fulfilled. Do you, when you look at it, what's your own opinion about it? Do you share the same thoughts?
Well, thank you that you are asking for my own opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be very sincere in giving my own opinion. His Lordship Bishop Coker is a man I respect, yes, but I think what he said also was his own opinion. Before you criticize anything, you should be able to go back to the foundation. Of course, you know too well that the present administration campaign was hinged on three basic factors. One is on security. The other is on is a fight against corruption, and the third one is economy. Now, when you look at the various indices or indexes, you will understand that it is in this same present administration that Nigeria has been declared the poverty capital. And that tells you that in economy, no, they've not done well. It was a different country that was known all over the world as a poverty capital. How come have we suddenly become the poverty capital? Now, talking about insecurity. Till today, if you look at the terrorism index, we are 6th position. We are not improving at all. Our children are still in the forex. Boko Haram, our daughters are still there, taken by Boko Haram. And while we are fighting the menace of Boko Haram, we were told about ISWA again. So ISWA is deadlier than Boko Haram. Our people are being killed. We are no more aware. We live in fear. The only security we have is God. You can't travel from one state to the other without being so afraid. And so what are we talking about? Insecurity?
In other words, you align with the thoughts of the bishop.
Yes. I don't want to just say I align with it, but I'm just giving that's why I said my private opinion. So that will not mean that we are all putting our heads together. Perhaps we all conspire. Before you know it, people will begin to raise
already,
cases
of conspiracy. We're having these conversations around, it's now becoming a religious theme.
Yes. I think this is my sincere private opinion I'm sharing today. Corruption index. We are growing as a country in corruption. That's the only area we grow. We grow in corruption. We grow in insecurity. We grow in poverty. These are the areas we grow. Look at the various indexes. Most recently, the Bureau of Nigeria statistics.
Yes.
We're able to release the fact about 160-something million persons below poverty line. And when people are talking, you should look at it. Obviously. Now, the Bible says when the righteous rule it, the people rejoice. That means the people become the plummet, the checking point, the checker, to know whether a leadership is doing well or not. Of course, it further says that when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So the people becomes the mirror to know, to check if there is if we are improving in security, if we're improving in anti-corruption, if the economy indeed is improving. So look at the people, if you hear me. Look at the Nigerians. I superintend over many persons. As a state chairman of PFM River State, I superintend over several people. And if you look at the cries and the plights of the people, you will pity Nigeria. And so for me, I think they have not fared well.
But many people would question the role of the church in all of this, especially under this administration. When you look at it, and some comments that come out of public, a few of them would be the fact that the church should have done more in aiding government, in lifting people out of poverty, and putting morals and all of those things. And people would say now that that's not what we are seeing, and that's the idea. So would you... What role do you think the church should play in all of this? And there's also the talks about the relationship between the church under this administration, how the church has fared. Would you say that, it's something that should be spoken about in a positive note?
Yes. Let me mention very sincerely, too, that the church has fared very well. There are so many ministries, so many churches who are involved in revival of human beings. So many ministries and churches are taking care of school fees of so many people. They are taking care of the widows. They are taking care of education, training, skills, empowerment programs. So many of us are doing it, creating good environment for schools, building schools, building for people.
And so some of those schools say are quite expensive.
Yes, and they're quite expensive. Remember that these schools may not be under the purview of the church, but they're doing that for the society. That's one way. Secondly, the church have been praying too. Like I must tell you that here in River State, The PFN is involved in prayer quakes. Prayer quake, praying for the government, praying for the economy, praying for security. Our youths are massively unemployed. Our universities have produced heaps and heaps of graduates who are asking questions and reasonable ones too. But unfortunately, after school, most of them, I saw somebody that has master's first class. Of course, I'm talking about first class in first degree and a very good GPA in for her master's, doing POS business. Wastages of resources, wastages of manpower. Where are we heading to? And so the church is involved. Like the other day, the PFN River State went to the prison yard. We saw the inmates, and after giving them the word of God, these people, you could see them receiving God, weeping in tears. And we decided, it was there we knew that there are inmates who are going through university there. They have their NECO exams there. And then we decided to pay some school fees for them, encouraging them. We are doing a lot as Pentecostals. In fact, I don't have the
people still feel it's not enough. I mean, for the school, no, some
and
will
then
say,
we have also told ourselves,
yes,
that faith without works is nothing. That this time around, we have mobilized our people to go for registration. We have been praying, like I said. We don't have any right thing to do than to pray. But after prayer, we need to do works. And in doing works, we need to mobilize our people to go for registration. You remember that the PFN declared a day as this PVC day, Sunday. Every church will have to count the number of their members that have PVC. And they did that in River State, for instance, and sent the number of...
And how many numbers?
No, I won't tell you that. I won't convey that to you. We've submitted our report to the National. But it will be so interesting that so many people are registered now. And we are waiting for the politicians because we need to make a change.
And what has been done about collection? Because registration is one thing, collection is another.
Yes, I'm talking about those who showed
PVC.
That's they've collected
they've
PVC.
Collected already.
Collected PVC were the ones we counted. And I am telling you, we are ready to ensure that we make a change. We are going to cut. Look, we are interested now in governance. That's why we have the GPD.
That is?
Of PFN.
Okay.
Okay. Government believe in politics. Now, we are in that. For good governance, for politics. DPG, rather. DPG, the Directorate of Politics and Good Governance. So we're interested in politics, and not just that, we're also interested in good governance. We are following them up now. Politics is too much a serious business to be left to politicians alone.
All right.
The church is raising up to its tax now in ensuring that we follow up.
We'll come to the question of the church and politics, because in the past years, many haven't really felt like the church should be involved in politics. We'll get into those details. But back to the activities of the church and the questions people raised about the church not doing enough. And you've highlighted many activities that the church is involved in. But some people still feel that some of the churches are too wealthy or very wealthy and can do a lot more than what we have on ground. And then some even say, oh, the schools that are built are quite expensive, and the people who are members of the churches will find it difficult to attend because they might not be able to afford it, and so on and so forth. All of these questions have even been raised by some government quarters. There was a time where there were even talks about taxing the church because of the fact that the church has some of these other... All of this have been questions raised. What more or extra do you think the church can do or should be doing to promote morals in society and see that more people are taking off that poverty line in the country?
Well, like I mentioned to you, there are schools owned by churches or established by churches that are free, entirely free. I think that the society should be able to have a proper appraisal of the activities of the church and consider that against their thoughts. People come up and speak without having a proper understanding of the operation of the church. Now, there are schools established by the church and ministries that are free entirely. And so we should be accorded. Now, how do we handle our matters? for like what you said that the government was thinking about taxing churches and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we won't be surprised when the wicked rule it, the people bear it more. The reason, you know, when we don't have water, nobody has pipe-borne water. 80% of Nigerians are providing water for themselves, and then the same government thinking of charging you for your borehole. So that's the way people go. And then if the church, it's not our duty, but the church have seen that we should be interested in the spiritual development of the people and also the physical improvement or development of the people. Now, if a church establishes a school and that school is expensive, I personally have taken time to discuss with the churches and ministries who have these schools that are deemed expensive. Go in and see the facilities, which government has never provided for anyone. Go in and see the facilities. To maintain these facilities, some churches run diesel, which is very expensive, made to be expensive by government, and then you keep this diesel on because we have power failure everywhere. You keep this diesel for 24 hours, for so much hours in the day, in order to make sure that the students get access to electricity to charge their computers and work it through their computers. And they considered this, and they told me they considered these things in line with the charges they have given. We are still discussing with them so that these questions will not come up. We are really, really discussing with these ministries. But on the other hand, the economy, which is bad and being propelled by bad leadership in the society, is the cause of most of this is. But like I said, the church is really working to ensure that this poverty matter is being addressed.
All right. A short commercial coming in a few minutes. And afterwards, when we return, a conversation would happen around the church and politics and activities of the church ahead of 2023. In the meantime, if you have questions for my guest, Reverend Dr. Minabai Jack, a state chairman of the PFN here in River State, please do well send those messages to me on WhatsApp 0809 036 416 0809 036 416. That is the WhatsApp number for your WhatsApp messages. You can also join the conversation live on Facebook and on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. On Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. You can watch us live, you can listen live, and most importantly, you can drop your comments there as well. We'll take your calls when we return after the break. Take one message here from Facebook. This one says Samuel Iwok. Good morning, Mr. Andrew and the guest. I agree with Bishop Kuka, but not in all ramification. There are areas we need to take time to appreciate the president, especially on the area of infrastructure, release of all states' entitlements, social welfare programs like the NPAR, sign of the PIB into law, etc., etc. He was also instrumental to the amendment and sign of electoral acts, which bring a whole level a level of great change to our electoral process. Construction of roads. He failed in the area of security, and if you want to look at it, it's a global pandemic, and also failed in the area of the economy. However, the bishop should also encourage and admonish the church, especially the leaders who refuse to be united in one voice. Some of the pastors are worse than the president. The huge money they receive from their members are used for personal and mundane things. They're busy buying planes, building mansions, forgetting about physical and spiritual welfare. We'll be right back after the break. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
And we are back in live. Join the conversation. You can be a part of it on Facebook and on Twitter. So go there now. Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Facebook at Nigeria Info PH. And my guest, Reverend Dr. Ominai B. Jack, the state chairman of PFN. And well, we've had conversations around comments by Bishop Koka with regards to the administration of President Muhammadu Buhari. Well, there's still a lot more to talk about. The involvement of the church in politics, it seemed to be very intense this time. You see almost every church encouraging its members to go for PVCs, some even outlining what their members should look out for before they vote for any candidate from any political party. In the past, it wasn't this intense because people felt that the church should not be involved in politics, especially when you look at how the politics in Nigeria is being played. All right, before we get into that part of the conversation, open the phone lines and get your thoughts. If you have questions or contributions to make, now would be a perfect time to do so. 070-0923-0923 is the number to call. WhatsApp number is 0809-030-6416. 0809-030-6416. We go over to the phone lines now so that we hear what you have to say. And please remember to try and be precise, mind your language, and go straight to the point. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Greetings from the city of Yenagoa, Ifeanyi Andrew.
Okay, you're welcome.
My name is David West.
All right, go on.
Of a truth, it is not as, it's not as if anything is bad with churches being involved in politics. After all, Constantine brought in politics into religion. But the thing is, for the sake of morality, when you look at, with all due respect to the clergy, when you look at the attitude of some of the clergymen, the way they dance around politicians, to the extent that they forget that they are very revered people, at a point in time they see white, they call it black. You say, me, Andrew, have you seen where this pastor struggled to be essay, what is this office, essay on religious matters to governors and presidents? You know the kind of spiritual warfare prayers they have against each other, to some of them go as far as even visiting their abalis to obtain that position. If it is not for the juiciness of that position, money and what have you, why should a pastor, a man of God, leave his church, leave the work of God, to go and remain in the office of one politician under the guise of essay on religious matters? And while they are essay on religious matters, they don't even go back to their church. All they do is to collect money to go and build their church. I'm not against it, but I mean, I cannot be putting offering while the man of God is busy shining and me, his member, is hungry. They use money to go and buy private jets. Is it not in this country that Orishajafo, his private jet was used to go and collect arms, to buy arms in South Africa? You know how much it is to maintain a private jet?
Okay, but while you're mentioning names and putting out facts and putting out allegations that we don't have facts about, we encourage that you don't do that, because we don't have any facts. We don't have any facts, and we don't have the police putting out any statement to confirm, or the military or anybody putting out any statement to confirm that. So I would encourage that you please, when you make allegations, are you don't mention names for things you cannot defend.
Of Nigeria money is in South Africa for illegal arms deals.
David West, thank you. I might have to interrupt you if you would want to continue mentioning names for things you cannot defend. Thank you very much. But please, like I said before we open the phone lines, if you're going to make allegations, keep them as allegations and don't mention names. And you can't just put out things that we don't have facts about. If there are no statements from the police, the government, or any of the required authorities to confirm that these things happened, then they stay within allegations and you do not state them as though you have facts and mention names of individuals. Thank you very much. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
You're welcome.
Yes, my name is Elvis. I'm calling from Umudwaya.
Okay, go on.
Yes, please. In as much as I want the church, it plays play a very vital role in the business of politics in Nigeria, but they should do it with a neutral standing. They should do it with a neutral focus. Let it not be said by virtue of their statement they are being partisan. People should rise above partisan politics. Okay? With respect to some of the statements, we also know that the Republican plays a major role in politics. But they should not make statements that incite the public. And again, most spiritual leaders of this country should let be more positive in the development of Nigeria. We should not dwell on the negative. Let us be positive. He tried to criticize. Don't make it a bias. Say the good and the bad side.
But he said the good and the bad. He said,
what do we need to do? What do we need to do more? Okay? In running the economy. Not just dwelling on the negative side, the bomb blast, the kidnapping, the economy. Remember, this problem has always been there. Only from the school, even from independence. People have been complaining. I was forgotten the years, the last time, before. I was forgotten the years, Sonny Okosu, found which way Nigeria. They were not in this year. They were not in this present dispensation. Nigeria, Gagagara was found in what?
Oh my goodness me, you'll have to call us back. I think you got interrupted by a service provider. Well, but we'll listen to, I think Koka was, the bishop had two parts to it, because he also talked about the areas where the government must have done well, in his opinion, and the areas where the government hasn't done well. Which brings me to a popular question, Dr. Minaibi. If pastors are human beings and they are Nigerians and they live in a country, shouldn't they be entitled to opinions if they see the how the government affects them as human beings and individuals or citizens of a country first? It's almost like people don't expect men of God to have perspectives on what happened politically. Or when a man of God makes a statement about how the country is being run or how a leader is running a country, it seems to generate a lot of reactions. How should men of God then conduct themselves in a country where they are citizens and also have a say in what happens in the politics or the governance of that country?
Well, everybody is entitled to his opinion. And so each time people make sound the opinions, I don't fight against it. I try to believe that they are entitled to the opinion. We men of God, we are men first before of God. The men of God are Nigerians. We have our constitutional rights to speak our freedom. But we, because of ethics, when you speak, you must speak within the confines of your ethics, because you are leading people. For instance, if the governor of his state speaks his mind, they see it as a position of the state, because he's leading people. And that's why we try to stay out of this thing called politics. But somehow, if you look at the simple definition of politics, the word politics is defined as the acquisition of power to lead. The duty of the father in the house is to lead his family. Those who are in the studies of administration say that administration starts from the family. Where a man that earns salary, gets his salary, prepares his budget for the month in the family, this goes for electricity, this goes for school fees, this goes for children's school fees, this goes for our feeding. He administers our resources in order to ensure that everybody is happy. It is the same way to governance. So when people say men of God should not be in politicians, what I can't is, well, understand, like I said, I don't quarrel with anybody. But we should have a proper understanding that how people are suffering. In the Bible, there was a time Israelites were suffering and God intervened. Pharaoh, let my people go. God was interested. He sent Moses as a deliverer. Now, we, the church, we have seen the level of poverty. We are not saying that the government has not done anything good. I could see a breach constructed by this present administration. If you watch me, I try to be very careful in talking because I said present administration without even mentioning who is the leader of the administration. No, we're trying to be careful. There are several things that they have done, but you and I know too well that if somebody will say, how has this government fared? Or before you declare a country, poverty country, or the economy is improving, there are several indexes that you consider. In this area, is it good? Yes, this area is good. This area, is it bad? Yes, this area is bad. This area is good. Then you put an average of averages before you know there's also percentage. And then you know the government is good in performance generally. So we are speaking generally. So when people begin to talk of it, this road, it's surprising to me. For me, I think that several factors would have put together to say that this government, let me tell you the truth, our youths and our women are suffering. A situation where a government and administration do not have respect for the youth, these women, the health of the people, education of our people. I mean, it's quite surprising. And if men of God would not speak, I will speak, for goodness sake.
At what time can it be seen as out of line? Because remember what happened most recently in the East, where one of the Reverend Fathers was, I think, sanctioned because certain comments that he made. At what point, or are they? Does the church has a system where it calls men of God to order when they perhaps are beginning to out of line and say things that are over the line?
No. Who consider that line? Who decides that red line? Now, you know what? Those who are benefiting from a system will criticize you when they see you criticizing that system. When you make statements against a system, those who are benefiting from the system, obviously it's natural, will criticize you. But we are not perturbed, we are not disturbed from speaking the truth. And the truth is that our people are suffering. But I know that with the present sensitization of our people, where the youths are all coming up, when God wants to make a change in the society, he uses men. And when there will be a change in the secular, God mostly uses the youth. Now look at the kind of sensitization that is on our present polity. It tells you that we are seeing a better Nigeria coming. That's where I'm going. But it will not stop me or any man of God, great men of God like Kuka, and a lot of people are talking, that our people are indeed suffering. And we need to declare as a church that Pharaoh, let our people go.
The church in politics, let's say Forever State, for instance, we're beginning to see pockets of violence, destruction of party secretariats, attacks on residents, and so on and so forth, etc., etc. And some people are already beginning to say, well, these things has to be put under control. The new commissioner just came in, and we're seeing these things, and many are feeling like there isn't much, you know, response from the part of the police. Is there anything the church, any role the church plays in ensuring that we have an election that's peaceful?
The major role, like I said, our prayer. We have just four things to do.
Because these people who people are accused of going to vandalize all go to church. They belong to one
church. Not church alone. You can't declare them as Christians alone. It's only a Christian that can go to church.
Yes, we can. So, for the context of the conversation.
Yes, no. They attend religious houses. It's better than to say church.
Okay.
You know, you've not confirmed if they are all Christians. We can't clear that, please. Now, one thing is that we condemn it in its entirety as religious leaders. There's no need to go and burn down houses. No. We pray. preach these things in our churches. We tell people, our children, don't do that. That's not the way. In fact, God is fighting for himself now. God is doing a new thing. Look at the electoral act that was signed. You think if it's not God, the electoral act would have been signed? No. Because there are people at the legislative arm who were targeting people at the executive arm while they were doing that law. And then, while they were targeting people that works with the federal government, politicians that are having appointment at the federal level, they even forgot to give themselves rights into their as delegates to their parties. So the electoral act will go and ask them to please bring it back again. Let's add some things. No, I'm not going to sign and all this thing. But it's God. They never knew. You see, when the Bible says, when they were killing Jesus Christ, they never knew that it was to cause salvation. So when they were doing those laws, they never knew what it would cause in the society concerning the one man, one vote through the voter's card. They never knew. Now it is on. It has been signed to law. And this is an answered prayer that the churches have been praying. Men of God have been praying. And if God says, if God answers our prayer, it could be through the law, amendment of the law, and also speaking into the hearts of men and our children. And that's why you see what is happening today in the society. People are asking questions and reasonable ones too.
How do we react to churches giving their platforms to politicians who come and make comments at different times? Here in Rivers State and outside the state, we've seen both politicians in power and those outside power use platforms of churches to make certain comments and just cast certain aspersions sometimes. These people would look at these things and say, well, in as much as we expect the church to be involved in politics, this isn't something we would encourage, especially when certain comments are made on the altars of various churches, some churches. How is that being looked at by the church?
If you consider the kinds of ungodly comments being made by politicians in the altar of God, you ask yourself, who did that? What is really wrong with us? There's no way you would have any reasonable man would have done that. That you are on the altar of God and you use a microphone to speak rudely, make ungodly statements. That is wrong and it's condemnable.
So what's the church
doing? I'm not going to speak for everybody. I'm a Pentecostal leader.
Okay.
In Pentecostal, in PFN, we have never asked anybody. In this administration, we've never given microphone. As PFN, never. In our meetings, we see politicians and ask anybody, I tell them that there are politicians in the meetings here, but I will not even introduce them. I say that. Most Pentecostals will tell you what I do. Now, not that because they are unrighteous, but because of the perceptions of people. That by the time you allow them to speak, This is the people say many things, but we are trying to be very careful this time around. And because you give the microphone to our sons, they are our sons. The people you call politicians are not from the underworld.
But it wouldn't be out of place to recognize certain figures. For instance, if we have presidential candidates of popular parties present at certain...
They do. If you can recognize them, they are present, no problem. But I don't do that. I don't do that. Mm. If you recognize them in your meetings, no problem about that. But the thing is that when you give them microphone, they use the microphone to make ungodly statements. And that is what bothers me.
All right, let's take a few more calls as we attempt to wrap up. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Efemi.
You're welcome.
Thank you. My name is Muriel. I'm an Okusa woman. I want to praise the man of God in the studio for what he said, that they took out a day on Sunday, told their church members to try to get their people to encourage them. That's a very good thing. And I want to tell them, encourage them to continue to speak out. Sidi Sheikh Gumi is a religious leader. He speaks out boldly, he says anything he likes. But our Christian leaders should come out and encourage, speak out. Pastors should come out and tell their members, among these candidates, CEO, see, this is the person I want. Me, myself, I'm voting. I'm not encouraging anybody. This is the person I see that Nigeria, that can change this country. Speak to them. Tell them that this is the person, but you're free to choose any candidate you want. They should come out continuously speak on these things. Please, when they do this, it will at least go a long way. So there are some members that don't even know who to vote. They are just there. Anybody that tells them, they, but when you listen, people here, we do listen to our religious leaders. So our religious leaders should come out and begin to tell us, this is the person, you go ahead and think if you don't like this person. But as for me and my family, this is the person who wants to vote, because this is the person that can change. Because take it or leave it, the decisions these politicians make is affecting the churches, is affecting every member. So members cannot do, people are hungry even in churches. And I want to encourage our churches to continue to look out for members to help. Open offices where people can come out, lay their complaints, tell you what they want. As little as you can, do them. I know they are doing it, but I want to encourage them to do more. God bless you. Have a nice day.
All right. Thank you very much. Okonkwo from Rumokuta is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. As we started the discussion, there was a question that the presenter asked. He said, is there any way that the church can help to eradicate poverty in Nigeria? Then listen to my answer. My answer is no. And look at my two reasons. Number one is that it's not the church that does collect a monthly allocation proper for the governors of the country. Not the church that does collect ecological fund of billions of naira, security vote of billions of naira, bailout fund of billions of naira for the governors of all the states of the country. But if church can help, it should be in a partial form. And the reason is because the church only gets an internally generated revenue, only through tithe and offering. So those that collect billions of naira and trillions of naira through what I've mentioned, they are the people that should help to eradicate poverty in the country. Thank you.
Okonkwo, thank you very much. And last call, good news from our three. You're welcome.
Yeah, good morning, my brother.
Morning to you.
I want to say that when Christianity came to Nigeria, they came with education, they came with leadership and security. But our modern Christians now have abandoned eventually everything and concentrated on themselves. A situation whereby the church ought to hold leadership of the country. How do they hold leadership of the country? The leaders of the churches, GOs and POs and superintendents, should have encouraged the members to go into politics. But starting from the world schools, which will eventually bring in the party schools, that will bring in the assembly, the House of Reps, the governors and senators. But no, they will shy away from it and say they are preaching against it. Even to ginger our members to go and get a voter's card. Now, even if members go to get a voter's card, who do want to vote? The same persons that were brought by persons who are not from the church, and they will just choose among the three or two. I think that moving forward, that the church must start encouraging their members to start from grassroots, come out early, choose who will go to be the delegates that will vote in the candidates in the first of all parties, and by so doing, we talk over the global system.
All right, good news. Thank you very much. We're already out of time. We'll just get final words from Dr. Minabai. Minabi. I keep saying Minabai because I have a friend with that name, so he keeps coming in, Dr. Minabi. So, yes, let's get last words from you. A few seconds. We're already out of time.
Well, I think 2023 is coming. God told me that he was going to shock many, and we've seen shockers here and there. People should just pray. Stop disturbing other opponents. Let us allow free and fair election. Allow free campaigning process. I love your brother. Don't hate. Just talk to the electorate yourself. Let us do this thing like brothers in order to have a peaceful election.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Minabi Jack, for your time. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Hello, Port Harcourt is next.